blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Kachachami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Kachachami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Niroha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Niroha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient at each step. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By passionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, thy compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, thy compassionate mindfulness that fruits this path, thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy love the day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi, tatiyampi, saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. Suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Should we look at this morning? John.
I've just been really grateful for the process of ego being revealed.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it happens in so many different ways and forms.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in a place of practice where when ego gets revealed, I don't have to take that personally and essentially
mm-hmm.
defend ego or cope with that to the degree that I used to.
It's such a relief, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we get to that place in practice where ego can get revealed and we get it on some level that we didn't used to, that that's not me, I don't have to defend it, it's
yeah.
just good to see.
Yeah, and we were just coming off a retreat. Someone was talking at the end of the retreat about when they don't go to self-hate, go to the beatings, that there's all these other things available.
Uh-huh.
And just really enjoying that.
Yeah.
So the example, one of my favorite parts of the retreat was the incredible privilege of doing working meditation with a guide.
Mm-hmm.
So we were rebuilding a deck, and I was working on another little project. And I've been kind of following the instructions to do that, and then at some point I was basically making a lid for something, and there's a handle, and it just seemed like, well, the handle needs to be cut a little bit, and I'm just going to come over here and take the saw, and I've been cutting other things and just do that. Not like there was that much consciousness to it,
uh-huh.
just what I was doing, and the guide said, "What are you doing?" And, you know, you could sort of feel that jitter, you know? Yeah, exactly. And then there's enough, like, so I mean, now I can see it as the awareness starts to collapse. Not completely, but enough that I'm responding with a content answer.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm cutting the thing for the thing, and that's what we're,
uh-huh.
And then she said, "And what are you doing?"
Uh-huh.
And I just, at the time, it didn't clue me in that the guide never really, I mean, yes, there was actually a content issue there,
uh-huh.
Which she said later, but it's, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you operating from?
What are you doing?
Yeah,
yes.
Who's here?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then what the blessing was, I answered again from a content place, and she said, and then she answered from sort of a content answer, but a real, like, you could feel that love. You know, which was basically, you're using a short piece of wood, and if you're going to try to hold that and hold the saw, that could actually be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, kind of, later at least, that really sunk in, that all of that was coming from a place of presence and love, both to help the person get out of the identification and just, you know, physically to keep them from hurting themselves or other people.
Wow.
And it's just like, and it's so, I love that place of like, you're not getting that really along the way, but there's, but the awareness is always there,
mm-hmm.
picking those kinds of things up. Mm-hmm. And then later, and you're just sort of walking along, and you're like, oh, wow. Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh gosh. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now I can look for that place where it just seems like, well, this is what we're doing, and you asked me to, and we're just gonna. And I had already been cutting. I mean, all these assumptions
mm-hmm.
that are just going along. It just feels like me. It makes sense. Perfectly makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Until somebody from a place of presence says, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. Wow. That is. There's so much in that. And so to what you're describing about that larger expanded awareness, so there it is, all holding everything that is happening. And within that field of awareness, there you are, doing this task, and you know, you think this needs to be cut a little bit, so you go and we can project easily that the guide is coming from a larger expanded awareness all the time and is coming from a place of kindness, which those two are sort of synonymous.
Yeah.
And in asking that, what are you doing? The guy that's not the expanded awareness
right.
is going to answer from where he is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm cutting this wood. And then the question comes again. Still there.
Yeah.
I'm cutting this wood. Maybe a little bit, you know, getting it.
Yeah.
And then, as you're walking along, you know, afterwards, you get it, in some way, it permeates, or you get it in a way that, oh, it all was assisting me.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we can even say the attention got turned from the piece of wood and the task and whatever the content was, got turned to that larger kindness that, that is the field of awareness in which you were always were, and the guide was pointing to that.
Yeah.
And then your attention then rested upon that.
Yeah.
And you got to get it too.
That's so interesting, yeah, that I always, the awareness is always present, that that it was always there, and then I just got to, I think you just said, then I got to experience that as well.
Yeah. Well, that's how you described it.
Yeah, and it's so fascinating how that, it's almost like accessing some, it seems like accessing something that already occurred.
Yes.
I mean, I've had that experience before, but that was just another one of those, like, wow, like, that's just miraculous in itself. Like, that's, those are those kinds of places where you don't want to live in small mind.
Right.
You know, when if I could take a beating or I could be in this, like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, these completely interesting, fascinating, miraculous processes that are available to us.
Uh-huh.
The mystery of it all.
Yeah.
And the ability to, like you said, turn to awareness and almost experience what it's like to be from where the guide's always assisting us, I project, which is to go to where she is.
Yeah. Well, and in doing that, we can even say, once you know, the way you're laying it out is just so obvious that once we experience that, all this utter kindness, and was always looking out for me, both on the content and on the process level, then we would never choose the small mind. We would never choose that.
Yeah.
But we have to have that experience in order to even know that another way is possible.
Yeah, and I guess what I was seeing is it's not like, okay, well, next time I'll really get that and I won't answer that way. It's like, that whole process is so lovely. And like, I don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, you know, other people who are assisting me are completely pulling their hair out.
Hopefully they catch me before I do.
Yeah, exactly.
But even that, you know, it's like there is really no way to make a mistake.
Yes, and there was another situation too where I was asked to get these batteries for the power tools, and you know, the initial thing that came in was there's actually two different kinds of batteries. Like, well, those ones. And okay, so I'm going to go, as soon as I do this, I'll go over and I'll charge that one. It'll have a little bit of time. It'll be ready for our project. So I went over to go do another task where these other batteries are that I was asked to gather. And there was this information about, well, what about these batteries? Because at least if it was said, I didn't get clear in the beginning about which ones. Mm-hmm. And there was essentially an overriding of that question. Mm-hmm. Well, there was sort of like this, like, but I don't even know where that charger is. I have to go back to what I thought the first time, uh-huh. which is this. This doesn't work out for me easily or something. But I don't, again, you don't know you're in a conversation. It's all happening so quickly.
Yeah.
But again, looking back, it's like, that would have been so, I mean, you know, it's like that place where you're on the edge.
Yeah.
You're not completely identified, but you're definitely not in that larger awareness uh-huh. because then you would just, it would be obvious. Which batteries did you mean?
Yeah, to just communicate. Yeah.
I mean, that was nowhere on the radar at all. Like, it's not even it's not even on the menu.
Uh-huh.
It's not like, well, I could communicate. It wasn't even like that.
Because the attention went so fast to the, okay, got it. And then the conditioning grabs the attention so fast. It's so trained, you know, the attention to go there. That the option of communicating doesn't even seem to be on the menu until later, till like now, or whenever you saw that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, it's just so fun to, you know, the dropping no more self-hate in 2013.
Yeah.
I just see that everything's just an essential piece.
Yeah.
Because, again, I got to watch, you know, kind of like, oh, I got the wrong one, and that's really kind of hindering this project. And then the whole, well, it's not my fault, they didn't, know. And that process completely interferes with seeing what I was just talking about.
Yes.
You know, and so I love that the training comes in, like, there's just a clarity when I hear that, I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know, and then I'll kind of go along, and I'll start up again, I'm not doing that. And, you know, you're dropping that, and then all of that information comes in, which has been happening all over the place, where it really seems like a lot of my job and the roles I have, or maybe all the time, is just to facilitate.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's kind of what was missing, like that, when I do that two-handed recording, I'm being facilitated.
Mm-hmm.
I love that practice, because it's so useful anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what can happen is, oh, well, maybe we... So what you're saying is you're not sure where the charger is, and,
mm-hmm.
and maybe there might be these ones, and so maybe we should communicate. You know, like that.
Which is the distancing from the conversation.
Yeah, there's a way to facilitate that
mm-hmm.
without having to get out of that process of I know,
mm-hmm.
or what's the right answer, or this is what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to be in that process of asking questions
mm-hmm.
that reveals whatever is needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, what you're laying out, the phrase that just keeps coming to my mind is learning to love learning. Because what you're
uh-huh.
describing is learning.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, because what you said a minute ago, and then are reiterating with the second example, is you know, so ego would want to say, okay, next time I'm going to answer from a process perspective, and I'm not going to, and that, you know,
like, I just got to be present, breathe.
I know the tools, I know what it is. But then you said, but I don't want to miss out mm-hmm. on that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the choice to love learning, to learn, you know, because that whole thing is putting the cap on, it's getting it right, is I want to, you know, I want to have known, I want to just know. I don't want to learn, I want to know. And so the same
thing. It is a cap.
Yes.
That's a good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've ended this, whatever's in here. Yeah.
And the same thing with the whole communication process within mm-hmm. batteries. Is that facilitating and the skill that you're developing left and right all over the place is to the way to step back.
Mm-hmm.
And the process by which that learning happens is through honing and reinforcing the facilitation in every aspect of life.
Yeah. And the last example, in that pausing, in that asking the questions, in the facilitating, in the just slowing down, because at first, you know, just feels like it happens so quickly, you don't even realize all the messages, all the assumptions that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how it just in, that I can actually articulate it, that it's slowing down enough for me to even articulate it. And because the other example was, so I'm working on that project and I need to put some screws in, and the other group is using the screwdriver, the power driver. And I get to this place where I'm hand doing it, and then it's like, I can't get these screws in far enough hand doing it. I'm just going to go see if I can use that driver to finish it off. And I go over, and I know that they're not using it at the time, but I know they were using it. And it's kind of like there's some sort of impulse to communicate, but they're doing something else and they're talking. And so something comes up, and again, I didn't see it at the time, was like, well, don't interrupt them. Don't bother them.
Just grab it, go use it, and bring it back, and they'll never know.
Exactly. Or just do it really quick, and you won't interfere with the huh-huh. And again, I think just back to my third part of the retreat was working with the guide, is that's what you get to do. You do your best to be present, and then you work with her, and then Yugo just gets revealed and revealed and revealed, and she's kind of like, hey, do you have the You know, oh gosh, and you just... Didn't occur to say that you were taking that, huh? Or something like that, you know. And then I got to see, oh, that is such a common identification. I don't want to bother anybody. I'll just do it really quick, you know. Just and then I won't have to interrupt you. And and it actually caused more of an issue because then I didn't know where it was, and they had to come find me. And you know, but yeah, which from a grown up place, you would just wait for a pause. Hey, I'm gonna, it's okay if I borrow this for a minute. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But no, that's way too much trouble compared to the, okay, run over, and because that's way easier,
It was perfect, because you got to see that karma.
Yeah.
And that's really all we're ever doing.
Yeah, exactly. And again, just that beauty of, I've been talking about the white figure on the black background.
Yep.
It just gets, like, it comes in relief.
Yeah.
Into something that just looks like, I think we were talking about the wallpaper.
Yes.
You know, it's just how it is, and that's how I am, and that's how people are, and it's like, and then you're like, whoa. And in that scene, it can't exist.
Yes, exactly so. And I project that's why you love the experience of working with the guide so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the deepest desire of the heart, is to see it. Not to be the perfect team member on a building crew.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's not going to happen.
But even if it were,
yeah.
If you listen to those voices and it could work and make you just the right guy that doesn't interrupt and make you, that's not what, you know, what you've chosen with your life. Or you wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Because that's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, and the process of trying to do that with my life and having that fail, which is always a blessing.
Yes.
You know, ego's never going to be enlightened. It's not going to work.
No.
So you can do that as long as you like.
Yes.
And then you can make a choice for something different.
Yeah. And then you'll get enlightened, and it's infinite compassion will put you on a crew with the guide that will reveal those things.
Yes.
Because ego, being the machine that it is, won't have the intelligence not to show up when you're 30 feet from the guide.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't do that if you want to survive. Right?
Totally
here
busted.
You go. This kind of got totally busted.
And to see that as that infinite compassion makes you just want to, oh, great, what, yes, you want me to,
I'm in.
Yes, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Instead of let me hide out and it's like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I want to, at every turn, I want to expose that system that's stealing my life.
Yes, and the heart gets so well served.
So that's fun. That feels related to a number of things. I'm really aware of the waterfall. It's very, very loud. So that's why I'm talking so loud.
Oh, sounds good to me.
From here, it sounds perfect. Okay. I feel like I'm shouting.
Oh, yeah.
But
you make it to this side.
So many things. I've really been looking at the power of taking 100% responsibility.
Mm.
And I was hearing that in that last conversation, that especially that piece of, okay, so that ego process of, well, it wasn't my fault, and that wasn't what was actually said to me, and that, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, all of those things might be, quote, true, but where does that leave me?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good question.
In terms of my own, working out my own salvation diligently. And I've been looking at it within another context, sort of like a business context, but it's so amazing, isn't it, how the truth is the truth everywhere?
Yeah.
You know? And so what they were talking about in that context was like, if you want to be successful, then you need to take 100% responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, this thing happened. Well, I mean, that's because this and this and this. And it's like, okay, well, it might be because this and this and this. But if what you want is to be successful, then what's going to lead to that is to take 100% responsibility for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was their fault, and great, okay, good. Where are we now?
Yeah.
And just kind of that place of... another piece of it is the power of wanting. which is such an interesting thing, like in terms of, I look at it from that big perspective. If what I want is to end suffering, then taking 100% responsibility in every situation really benefits me, regardless of how ego feels about that, or wants me to talk to me about, but it isn't fair, and I shouldn't have to, and but they didn't, and why is it, you know, all of those things, as was just talked about, that obscures what I actually want.
Yeah, boy, that is such a good thing to see. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is seeing that is actually an obscurity, mm-hmm. and not an assistance, not a judge. I mean, you know, it's so incredibly helpful to the heart, to the human who wants to end suffering, who devoted her life to ending suffering, because they can say, you know, as conditioned human beings, we don't see them as veils to begin with. Mm-hmm. We see them as what they're true. I didn't know. It wasn't my fault. Yeah. I didn't. My veil has to, you know. And so once we get what is so, what is actually helpful, and with them taking 100% responsibility, things just to make sense.
Exactly.
Because I want to succeed at whatever it is.
Right. And it also brings in the getting over how we feel principle. Because boy, to me, it's that required in that place of, all right, good. It's cool, not my fault, and they did this, and that, and the reason that, at least for me, that's so compelling is the sensation in the conversation, making that meaning, coming together, but it isn't fair.
Someone's going to see me as wrong.
It's not fair.
Exactly. Everything in us, feels like it must justify this person.
Exactly.
But then, like you said, but then what do I have?
Right. Truly, what do I have? Yeah. So to build that skill of being able to be a large enough container that ego can go crazy, and those sensations are going in my body, and there's the story, and there's the meaning, and the container is big enough that I don't have to go there. I can still stay here and take 100% responsibility, which doesn't mean that I, you know, at least for me, the way ego comes in to take it over is, it should be graceful, and I should sail right through it, and be
shouldn't have those pesky sensations,
right? And I, you know, shouldn't feel like it's somebody else's fault. I shouldn't have to, or you know,
so it's not all that.
But at least in my experience, that's not how it works out. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't have to stop me from that taking full, complete responsibility.
It doesn't have to stop at all. In fact, in a way, that is the very process.
Yeah.
It's the very process that we've signed on for as human beings. We're working to wake up and then suffering.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Right? That is the, in a way, if we're present to it, what I just saw was, that is the place that, this is a funny phrasing, but almost we inspire ourselves.
Yes.
Right? To see what this person is willing to do, to see what we're up against, and to keep making that choice.
Uh-huh. Oh, that is such a big point. You know, and as you were talking about that container, building a large enough container, what was dropping in was, because that container, that, let's say, that awareness, that large expanded awareness, is actually who we are.
Yes, exactly.
And to see the human and what she's willing to go through and to stay not to go with the compelling story, it is inspiring. It's the joy of intelligence knowing itself, of inspiration inspiring itself.
That reminds me of another piece. Thank you for that. That, you know, in that, you know, something goes on in my day, and at the time I'm not aware that awareness registered in the case we were just talking about, sort of the teaching that was being given to me, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see that later, and that's such an interesting place. You know, I've heard the example of, you know, you meet someone or, you know, whatever, and then someone asks you later, what were they wearing? And you have no idea what they were wearing. But if you were to be hypnotized, you would know what they were wearing, because that registered in awareness, you know, and that place of, I think it was in the What the Bleep, that movie, where they talked about when Columbus's ship came to, you know, whatever you want to call this place that we live. That's what dropped in, like a new world. That's a perfect example, right? I would never think of that, and yet that's in there. Like when I think of that,
that's what we learned in second grade.
Exactly. Right. And have you ever thought about it since then? And yet, now that we're talking about it, that arises. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's just like a perfect example of it, right? Yeah. But that they couldn't see the ship because there was nothing to alert them. Mm-hmm. They've never seen that ship, ship like that before. Uh-huh. So supposedly, I don't know, but the sort of wise, the shaman type people were seeing the ripples on the water and stayed with it until they could see what was making those ripples on the water and knew to look there. Right? Knew that those ripples, that's something. There's something there. And it's the same thing with, I love that quantum physics, I think it's quantum physics that talks about, 11 dimensions, so we're aware of three.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly there are all these other dimensions, but where are they?
Yeah.
What? And yet, there's all this stuff that's like the ripples on the water, that's pointing us towards, there's way more here than you can see or know. And I just love that place that that takes us to is like, wow.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Truly.
Yes. Well, and where I project the tie-in with that great example of feeling so compelled to say it's not my fault is that when we get that, okay, there's some ripples here. There's
Exactly.
Being with that is so much more interesting.
Yes.
It's so much more fun.
Yep.
It's so much more exciting.
Yep.
That it sucks some of the juice out of the karma
and returns
it back to life, as that's what they've sort of been talking about lately, right?
Yeah.
It returns to life what is life, and of course the human goes there. Because once we know of another way, we take it.
It really, what just dropped in when you said that was the more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like that place where I'm willing to be uncomfortable, quote uncomfortable, for this period of time in order for that much bigger gift, that reward that I get from taking that responsibility to just stay here and watch what that is. What is that? Like right now, I have no idea, and everything that I know, it seems like I'm right and that's wrong.
Yeah.
But to be willing to suspend that,
and
to just stay in that quote discomfort of, there's something for me here. There's something.
It would be easy to project on the shaman type people seeing those waves, the discomfort.
Yeah.
That you're describing.
Kind of I mean, I would go
going
away.
On here. I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. I gotta go eat lunch.
Yeah.
I have things. I've been looking at this for hours, and they're so stupid. I don't want to do this anymore, right?
But that's what sets people like that apart.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Einstein who said, "It's not that I'm sure I'm totally butchering this, but it's not that I'm more intelligent or smarter than people, but I'm willing to stay with something longer."
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're doing, and the assistance of we have the Bodhidharma and Sangha to assist us to stay with it. Yeah.
It's interesting how much of this relates to what I've been looking at. Yesterday I had this moment of extended moment of I have to get out of here. That week was great. Got some good stuff in the retreat. Got it out at the end. That was good. And I'm just wild trying to thought of the van's on its way, I could probably get my bags together, and then I could just do whatever I wanted for about 2 or 3 weeks because I've got nothing else on my calendar. There was and it wasn't coming, I don't know, it was just so interesting to watch. I gotta get out.
Yeah.
And then and I just made this really beautiful recording of encouragement to like really savor life and enjoy it and lose the fear and just like live wildly and boldly and freely. And you know, it was this wonderful, encouraging recording that I'm sure I'll go back to. And so I was like, oh, maybe this is that. And I need to go live wildly and freely. and then there's another part of it. It's like, well, there was something that thought there might be something here by staying. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was like. It was kind of like a, I mean, now I see like part of my process after this, but then that moment passed and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna remember that there was something that wanted to stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
And thought there might be something here for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just kind of stay with that commitment, even though I have no idea really why I would do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other than I have this commitment and some idea that there was something here for me.
Mm-hmm.
By staying.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see now when I'm kind of looking at that. And by the way, I was going to have a car here. And it got totaled 2 days before driving through the retreat. And unfortunately, I wasn't in it. It was parked in front of a driveway in a residential neighborhood and got plowed into and totaled. So I had to fly here. And which means I have no car and no real clear escape.
among
the other kids, my car in total, whatever they may be. One of them is that it's not as present a decision.
Yeah.
It's not as available as a duality of like, should I stay or should I go?
Right, that's off the table.
Yeah.
And the band is gone, so that's off the table.
Yeah. But it's been interesting to watch, well, of course, like, what would have me feel that fear?
Uh-huh. And what do you see?
Well, I'm in recording. And it's like, I don't know, there's a fear of like, what if there's nothing here? What if it's just a bunch of work and really nice hours of sleep and the lack of time? Like, what is actually the fear?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And so as I kind of recorded it out, I saw, there's a really low likelihood of any harm being done by being here.
Uh-huh.
I'm eating as well as I've ever eaten, sleeping as well as I've ever slept.
Mm-hmm.
I get like a nice amount of physical exercise. From a body perspective, yeah, I'm as well cared for as I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, from an emotional perspective, like, yeah, sometimes it feels lonely or sad or something, or the suffering's more present.
Uh-huh.
And that seems to be okay.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I don't know what it exactly is, right? A bunch of stories, but what I see is that that process of like, what if I'm wasting my time?
Uh-huh.
Is like going on about life.
Yep.
It's going on in this sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going on if I listen to it.
Yeah.
It can go on about everything.
Yeah. And what if that's exactly what you came here to see? You know? So, well, that's not really the best way to say it, but you're here, and that's exactly what is arising, so you get to see it.
Yeah.
What if I'm wasting my time? And as you saw, it happens there, it happens there, it happens here, which just screams karma, right? Because it comes up in all these different settings.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I'm in a place where the body is well cared for, there's ample space, silence, time, all that kind of stuff, and I'm getting to see all of these things that arise. So it kind of makes sense that the ego would not want to stay here for you to get to see all that. It would be plenty of escape routes.
Right. Well, and it's like the unknown.
The unknown.
I mean, there's unknown in any direction. But there's a sense of, like, I know what a pina colada is like on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, but you don't know what it's like for a month at the monastery.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's here coming, you know, from a, you know, spiritual, emotional level.
Yeah. Yeah, you've never had that experience before. And you, the human has had the experience of a pinata on the beach, and now has put himself in this environment with it for this experience. And when the voices were the loudest, it sounds like, okay, I can get on the van and get my bags packed. When the voices were the loudest, what was here for you was, well, there was something that wanted this experience, so why don't we just stay? And clearly, that's what was followed because you're here this morning.
Yeah, there was like a, this came out of the recording about it, like a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's okay to not know what's here. Yeah. And let's just discover.
Yeah.
And if I leave, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the month, and I didn't get anything from it. Oh, okay, cool. Now I know.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the end of the world either.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to be in a place of just discovery.
Yeah, it's okay to be in a place of discovery. It's okay to be in a place of not knowing. It's okay to try something, even if you don't get something out of it. Yeah, it's all okay.
And I imagine there will be a lot.
We can imagine. We can guess that there will
be. But ego wants to know, and there's like a choice to not give in to that need.
Yeah. Yes, that's very well said. Ego wants to know, and there's been a choice not to give in to that, quote, need. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a congratulations moment, right? Because that, when it hits you really hard like that, and you stay with the heart, that's a recording, kind of attaboy guy kind of recording to make, you know?
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I like that image of watching the ripples,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's what everybody is talking about. I really like the, I mean, I just like everything at this point, but that whole thing of there has to be more here than a saw and a wood, a piece of wood. I mean, just that thing of looking really closely at whatever's in front of us is going to lead. I don't know how to say it. Like, the content, like, I would rather not have some of the content in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to, like, brush it aside and, you know, look at something else.
Mm-hmm.
The CD. Mm-hmm. Not really, because I don't really have much CD, but other things, you know, a book or something else. But what I've been noticing about just staying with...
Oh.
Okay,
volume. Okay. And I'll reflect.
Yeah, reflect.
Maybe just where you are so far. There's some content going on in your life, and you'd really rather look at something else, anything else. You know, just sort of kind of scoot it away. But what's been drawing and kind of inspiring you about what everybody's been saying is to stay with what's right in front of you and the belief or the, you know, kind of the assumption or the faith that there's more here. There's more here.
Yeah, because I could really be like, I'm so helpful. It was so helpful to hear how much was seen. You know, I wasn't on the retreat. So how much was seen in just the hammer and the nails? I mean, I've been on the retreat here, so I can go right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the hammers and the nails. This can't possibly be it.
Yeah.
Remember, I used to get... jobs, you know, what going windowsills.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, it's clear.
Uh-huh.
Why, you know, let's just, you know, and then I got to see all about how I do everything.
Yeah.
And so when people were talking about those, looking really closely, the thing I went about these ripples is, a lot of times I'll be, I mean, I'm certainly, I didn't do anything, it wasn't my fault kind of doubt. And then I can go to that place intellectually of, well, in theory, the best thing to do is just take everything as my fault, or whatever, not my fault, but take responsibility.
Right? And so that's what I'm not sure responsibility means, really.
No, it's all my fault. But then I saw this thing that if I really pay attention to the ripples, uh-huh. I actually often do see that I actually did have a part.
Uh-huh.
But it's from a completely different place of, oh yeah, it's all my fault, you know, and I'm a spiritual person, so I'm just going to take responsibility for everything. So ego co-opts that can, at times, taking responsibility.
Yeah.
But if I say, what taking responsibility is looking really closely at what I've chosen to do today. Yeah. Okay, what I've chosen to do today is come and sit on a cushion and have a conversation.
Yeah.
That's all that's right here. And because I chose to do that, I saw my whole life flash before me while everyone was talking.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was laughing and disidentified within seconds because it's so insane what ego does to us.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I saw the thing when, you know, the retreatants talk. I'm like, you can come stay at my house. Well, I'll come down. The whole thing. We never want to be, you know, I never want, when I come on retreat, I remember I was driving, so I do drive in. I drove in this morning, and it started talking. Well, you know, do you really need to come? You've got sunshine on your porch.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, I'm headed down, and the gate is open. The other day I was coming for guidance, and it's closed, and I thought, well, maybe it's closed, I shouldn't come, and then somebody came behind me, a car, so I couldn't, I had to open the gate and go through. You know, it's just like what this does to us. But anyway, I just like the ripples, because what I took is, sometimes you tell me, I wish I was living here. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I have a lot to see in my outside life. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot about how I do the thing, mm-hmm. you know, well, that can't possibly be a ripple. I don't really like that ripple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want it to be a smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I want
concentric ripples.
Right.
Concentric ripples.
Right. Yeah. And ripples that bring this in and this out. Not this. So, anyway. But then you don't get to see because that's not a ripple. That's that thing that is taking us away.
Yeah.
Where we don't see it until, I just love that, where we don't see it until we see it. So every process that everybody talked about today, I could laugh because I'm doing that. It's doing that to me. I just love to think about communication.
Yeah.
How much time it would save if we just said so in the moment.
Yeah. Well, and this is the point. I mean, what you're pointing to is such a critical central point in awareness practice, which is be with what's right in front of us. That's really where it all is. Because as you're talking, you know, that process of, okay, I'm going to see what's right here, even though I'm hearing, well, I don't really want this here, and I don't want to do that, and you could go get that somewhere else, and you don't need to be driving, you know, so there's all that going on, attention is here driving down the hill, you know, and just that, I don't know, faith or steadfastness or beautiful tenacity, whatever we would want to call it, that just keeps going, that just stays. That, you know, it keeps coming down. That, you know, it was willing to open the gate to the car behind you instead of saying, back up, I got to
I'm out of here.
And just keep showing up because, faith, but also a lot of experience of knowing that there's more here for me. In this little square inch of moment than anything that voice is saying.
It's so important.
It is so
because,
important.
You know, my this starts in with really holding things.
Yeah.
You know, what'll happen to me is it'll say things like, you know, instead of taking and looking closely at the ripples, I'll start focusing on how I need a retreat.
Yes.
Right? I'm sitting here at the monastery and it's focusing on trying to get me here.
Yes. Right? Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
And don't you, doesn't it just kind of tick you off I don't want to think of an ugly word. Let me think what would be, co-ops isn't strong enough, but corrupt religion and all of the spiritual stuff to use against you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
I mean, that's just so
it's wrong.
and the fact that you see it, that's what it does. It's like, okay, that's something that's got me. You know, I'm a religious type, and so it's going to use religious type language to try to get me. but you saw it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sitting here at the monastery while it's talking to you about needing a spiritual retreat, mm-hmm. and you saw it.
It always tries to take at me away from this being it. You know, I say it all the time. I love sitting still. This is me.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is
it. In the middle.
This mm-hmm. is what we are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
This conversation, the sounds outside, this is it.
Yeah.
But no, this comes in and says, you need something other than this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very tricky. Including the failures, so to speak, in quotes I'm putting that, including the mistakes,
yeah.
quotes, mm-hmm. you know, that it's something other than
perfection. And if that those mistakes are anything other than perfect,
idea, right,
yeah.
of perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just wants to take us away from seeing that this is it.
Yeah,
that this is it. That this interaction should be different, or should be talking about something else, or, you know. Yeah, so it's just so helpful to see. It's so good to know we're not alone.
Yeah,
it's doing it to all of us, and we're all here.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. That we're all in this. That we are all in this together, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing what it's doing to all of us. And the way to hear that, I think, and the way it sounds like you're saying it, is so impersonal. It's such just a system, a machine, that there's just no. I mean, you know, there's no way we, in our right mind, take it personally when we sit in the room and hear everybody saying the same things that we could all raise our hands to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
This morning I was reading about the day, I think I'm on day 25 of a mindful feeding retreat, the Making a Change for Good book.
Mm-hmm.
And it said something like, willingness is what's there when I doesn't want to, mm-hmm. when I don't want to. And I've done lots of those 30-day retreats, but I would swear I've never heard that. It's so funny. It's so fun when something clicks or registers at a deeper level.
Yeah.
And it's just, I would have sworn on a stack of Bible, which tells you a lot about sworn testimony, but it's just what I keep hearing too about our willingness to go up against, you know, just to do whatever it takes to see what causes us suffering so we can drop it and move through it and end suffering.
To have that fun experience of knowing, okay, surely I've read this, but it feels so new, so completely brand new. And to have it knowing that sort of is landing in a way that has never landed before. And it sounds like that experience sort of, with hearing today, is showing the light on the tremendous willingness that's there.
And when we're here, the willingness, I don't know if it goes somewhere or it just gets covered up, but the more we're here, it's like it feels like it's a muscle that's building, you know, that it's stronger, and it's just been so helpful to be here this month.
Yeah.
And practice with Sangha.
Yeah, there's something about the, building that muscle and being here, that willingness muscle. It's sort of like this is a or something, right? We build that, and something really helpful about doing that with Sangha.
Yeah, that's exactly how it felt at one point where. A boot camp, or I think we said it before, where it's like, you know, the Olympic Village or something.
Yeah.
It's training at a really high level, and And that helps me too to think of athletes or spiritual heroes or whoever that I admire. Like, maybe I can almost guarantee every day they don't want to do the laps or do the sit even or do the whatever. But it's not about how I feel. It's about what I'm going for. You know, it's a bigger place, and that's where the willingness can grow.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's so interesting. That it is. It's kind of what we've been looking at a lot this morning, isn't it? That we know what we're here to end suffering. And so we put ourselves in a place that's going to help us get there. You know, and so there the willingness was to get here, first of all. You know, you had enough willingness to get yourself here and to practice all these years. And now feeling like you've been really supported and trained and everything to continue that. And the willingness is even growing. Because it's not about any daily particular mood or feeling. It's about what the heart wants, which is to end suffering.
Yeah. And what has really changed at this time is feeling like there's some more understanding of what compassionate self-discipline looks like and feels like, instead of just an idea, where it was so often turned into self-indulgence. And it just got so twisted that way.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, and how I grew up, or whatever karma, you know, or whatever, it brought me here. So, and it just feels like there's no finish line or end, or, you know, it's just how I want to live as long as I'm alive, and as long as I get to be alive.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I use the phrase kind of got kind of all twisted up, self-compassionate, self-discipline, and got twisted up with self-indulgence. And I do think of practice and this place and sangha and retreats or whatever as a way that we can go, in my experience, right, to get untwisted. Do you know? Because we get caught up, twisted up with karma. And then this helps us kind of pull the strands apart so we can see what's actually so. And where our karmic conditioning got bamboozled, and to have this as a service to this practitioner who keeps showing up, who have this place and this practice and these programs or whatever, to as a service to that person who continues to practice, because we all need it. You know, we all get tangled up in karma, and then we come together to get untangled.
Yeah. So there's so much gratitude for the guide and for this practice and for its teachings throughout time, and also knowing that even if whatever happens at this time in history, if it's true, which it is, it'll come back. You know, it's always there. It's what's real. It's what's it's just what's there when we're here. But just so much gratitude for this path being laid in front of
us. Yeah, so much gratitude. Well, and I hope the gratitude extends to the person who is walking the path too. You know, he really is devoted to that, as you said, that goal, that end goal.
The ripple, the, you know, taking responsibility, that all of that this morning is just, one thing I was just seeing, and then one thing I was just seeing earlier, so some reference made to everyone in the group, in the room, and everyone listening to the recording, include them and all of that, and just how incredible it is, just incredible that folks are practicing like this. I don't know what comes up as your goodness, our goodness is already established, mm-hmm. and how that just gets snatched mm-hmm. by, you know, this kind of, I shouldn't be here, I should be someplace else, mm-hmm. I'm not doing, you know, I should be doing better, mm-hmm. and just not getting to see that amazing commitment mm-hmm. that's present
yeah.
right now with everyone.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know how yeah. to say it.
Well, no, that's what you said beautifully, and that's such a good point, that what's actually so uh-huh. in this real, real physical, tangible, real world uh-huh. is that we're all here.
We're all here. We are all here.
And it includes all those people
and
out there.
And all those folks
on this. Yeah. Everybody, you know, we're here.
We're here.
And then to hear the voice come in all the ways that's been talked about this uh-huh. morning, that you shouldn't be here. You're not really here. You're not doing what you should be doing. You should be, I want to tell you this away. You know, you gotta do something else. And, you know, it's just so insane.
It is so insane.
Yeah. To end up, but yet we live, when we live in that story, it isn't insane at all. It's very real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got it. You know, mm-hmm. but there goes our attention away from what's actually real.
Wow, and that actually real.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been looking at the fact that I can be saying the daily recollection and making a shopping list simultaneously.
Oh my God!
I don't hear people talk about that too much, but it's like, you know, and then it says you are weird.
Did I just say potatoes?
Yes, I did say potatoes. I should have said, you know, and it's like, oh my God, what is going on here? You know, the body's here, the voice. You know, the recollection is coming out of the mouth, and oh, don't forget you got to put the bada that I am the loser, you know, and I'm like, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
What in the heck is going on here? And I just see that it's wow, that's the level of the takeover that's going on continually. That is sometimes not that obvious.
Yeah.
You know, the body is moving through the world
uh-huh.
and doing everything it does,
uh-huh.
actually probably having a pretty good time.
Uh-huh.
And that's going on, it's on another trip.
Yeah.
You know, the head is on another trip altogether.
Yeah.
That is not fun.
Yeah.
And so
alarming.
It's alarming. It's so alarming.
Uh-huh.
And so it feels like it just comes back to everyone that's in this room. We miss. I mean, I'm talking about myself. I miss the joy of the commitment and the joy of the, you know, this.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe the attention's taken off the ripple for a moment. You know, it's just on the extraneous stuff that's just, going
mm-hmm.
on in the head.
So the attention is on the extraneous stuff, and yet you're saying it from a place of having seen it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of good to see too.
Yeah.
That there's this, I mean, because you couldn't be alarmed if you weren't seeing the, it's sort of like watching the person making the shopping list while she's, and then there's this, wow, how, that's so interesting, you know, because you can't see that from within that system.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be some level of seeing it.
Some stepping back.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, this is so, and so it's, there's that greater awareness that's holding it all, that, you know, you don't realize that it's being held, and so you, like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that information is there, and it's being registered. There's something else there, and it just vanished. Oh, it's just the homework from
this one, the latest one?
The latest one. I give myself permission to, you know, just take all the courage you have and what's deep, and it's a really fun exercise.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, just giving permission to wake up and end suffering. You know, I mean, permission is already granted. I mean, it's what's happening. You know, but but then all that other stuff gets in the way about deserving and you know, beliefs around how hard it's going to be or whether it could really happen in this lifetime, and you know, it's like, you know, all that stuff that gets in the way to actually, it can happen now.
Wow.
Just now.
And that is a courageous moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because what I saw when you said that is that there's a sense that we can get sucked right back. So we see it. Awareness registers what's going on, the alarmity of it, you know, or whatever.
Whatever
it is now. Thank you, June. June says the word now, so it is. But that it's registered in awareness, and then ego would have us get sucked right back in. Then we've got this exercise of, no, I give myself permission to end suffering right now in this lifetime.
Yeah.
That's a very different movement from, wow, this is so scary that this happens, to, I give myself permission to end it.
Yeah.
And awareness is holding all of that.
Awareness is holding all of that.
Wow.
Really. Wow. And I'm not taking you with me, you know. Interfering.
Yeah.
So and so.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to stay down there.
Yeah.
Being
go do it. Yeah. So.
Thank you. Thank you all.